Since coming from the Old Testament, Genesis 19, verses 1 and 2, 14 through 17. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, arose to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, come in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the streets all night." And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, which had married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And Lot went out, And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou at all in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed." Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of His precious and eternal word. Run, Lot, run. Well, that's always a quandary, isn't it? Do we stand or do we run? We say so often, take a stand. I'm going to take a stand. We need to take a stand. And it's true. Book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for all things and a season to everything that's under the heavens. There's a time to stand and there's a time to run. When it comes to a moral issue, it's a time to stand. But my friend, when it comes to being part of what's going on that's bad, it's time to run. Sister Mills used to tell her children when they get in a fight, a good run was better than a bad stand. And sometimes we can stay in the wrong place at the wrong time and not get what we've got to do. There is a time to run. Paul's advice to young Timothy as a young man of God was to flee youthful lust. There's a time young people need to run. Been times in my life I'd have been better if I had run. I was a little stubborn, didn't want to be called chicken, would take a beating before I'd take a, say that I was chicken or something, but that's not necessarily the smartest thing you ever did. Fact is, it's not intelligent at all in many ways if you think about it. But the scripture teaches us, Jesus did, that there was coming a time that it would be so dangerous to be alive, so perilous the times would be, that he said, "Pray that you would be counted worthy to escape the things that were coming on the earth." So there is a time to run. There's a time to stand, but there's a time to run. And my friend, instead of being part of what's going on in the world, instead of being part of what's happening among the people of the world, we need to run as hard as we can in the other direction. Because my friend, that direction is going downward. There's two ways to go. One is a straight and a narrow way that leads to life eternal, to the straight gate and the narrow way. And there are few that find it. But then there is a broad way that leads downward to destruction, to the broad gate that enters into hell. And many people are going in at that gate, the Lord said. So when we look at this morning, I'm thinking about Brother Lot over in the city of Sodom. He wasn't born in Sodom. He wasn't raised in Sodom. He didn't have anything in common with Sodom. He was Sodom was a city, one of the five cities that had been built in the Jordan Plain just above the Dead Sea. And they were wicked cities. These were terribly wicked cities. People had gathered themselves up into Sodom and its sister city Gomorrah and Zoar and two more, and had gathered themselves up and piled their iniquity and their sin one on top of the other. And if you think God's not paying attention, by the way, think again. God is paying attention to what human beings are doing on this planet. God is paying attention to what goes on in Washington and in Richmond. God is paying attention when legislators sit and legislate against the lives of unborn children and all the other ungodly things that are going on. God is paying attention. In fact, as we used to sing a song years ago, "My Lord keeps a record." Brothers and sisters, I don't believe that the caveman came grunting out of a cave and invented books and literature and writing. I'm convinced that Adam and Eve were created upright, tall, and complete, and that writing had already been invented. And you say, why do you say that? Because I read in the Bible that there are books in heaven, and that in the day of judgment, we will be judged out of the things that are written in the books. So when I look at it, I have to say that these people in Sodom and Gomorrah, in all the cities of the plain, God was paying attention and keeping a record of what they had been doing. He's keeping a record, by the way, of San Francisco and all the other places that have hell holes in them around the country. And you say, well, you oughtn't to talk like that. Well, I'm afraid, my friend, I should talk like that and call sin what it is. Now, Lot had a choice one day to make, and he made the wrong choice. And the choice he made had consequences, not just for himself, but for his family. And you need to always think about that, young people. The decisions you make today have consequences tomorrow. And the decisions you make today have consequences for people tomorrow other than yourself. They have consequences for your wife, for your husband, for your son, for your daughter, for your grandchildren. The decisions we make dictate where they live. They don't have any choice. Our little children don't have any choice. I decide to get up and move out of the will of God, go to some bad place and put them in a bad environment. And who's responsible? I am. But who pays the consequences? They do. And they pay it not just for one generation, but for generations to come. And Lot made a decision. His flocks and his cattle and all he had grown so big, and his servants, and Abraham's was already tremendously big. They were sort of butting heads on each other about it. So Abraham said, we can't continue to go together. The land won't bear all of us. So you take yours and go your way, and I'll take mine and go my way. And we'll meet and have a family reunion or something once in a while. So Lot made the choice. Abraham had the choice. God had given him all of the land. It all belonged to him. God said, you got everything from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River and from Egypt to Syria. He owned the whole Middle East. It was his. And yet he says to his nephew Lot, you choose where you'll go. Well, Lot looks around and, of course, he chooses from a purely worldly standpoint. He doesn't have a prayer meeting about it. How many think you ought to pray about where you go and what you do? Amen, that God will guide you. Lot doesn't pray for the guidance. He doesn't pray for anything. He just looks down and sees these cities and sees all this prosperity and sees all this rich, fertile land along the river. He said, that's it, man. I'll be as big as Abraham. So he chooses to move his family without God's consent or advice. He chooses to move his family away from Abraham down to the plains, and Abraham takes the sorry land and the hilly country, and they part company. Well, you think maybe that would be the end of it. You wouldn't hear any more about Lot, but life and families and people being what they are, we do hear about Lot. And Lot begins to live, and he goes down, and he not only chooses all this, but when he decides where to plant his tent, he plants it toward Sodom. He doesn't move into Sodom. He doesn't just leave Abraham and move into Sodom. Do you know most backsliding works that way, folks? You know most backsliding works a little here and a little there. Let up here a little bit, let up there a little bit, let up back here. First thing you know, you got a full-blown backsliding going on. Let me tell you something, folks. Lot, it didn't happen all at once, but through the years, the consequences of his decision had made a difference in his family life. And you have to wonder just how it would be. Didn't Lot see the signs coming? Didn't he see what was going on? Didn't he see what was happening? Didn't they have a big sign up there that said, "Run, Lot, run"? Every time one of these things came up, maybe one day the children came in and he said, "Our children aren't speaking our language anymore. They've picked up the language of the people here in Sodom." And so the first thing you know, the children have a vocabulary that's not the vocabulary of God's people, but it's the vocabulary of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the vocabulary of the people of the world. And I wonder how much we've done to instill the vocabulary of the world into the minds and lives of our children with our televisions and our radios and our videos and our earplug things and all we've done, and very little supervision for children sometimes. And children are picking up the lingo of the land. They have the slang of the land. They have the vocabulary of the people of the world. They don't speak the vocabulary of the people of God. I'm appalled in speaking to young people and children. How many you run across that don't know the simple Bible stories of the Bible? They don't know about Noah and Abraham. They don't know about Adam and Eve. They don't know about the prophets of the Old Testament and little David playing on his harp and killing a giant and all those things. Those stories that our parents taught us and our church and Sunday school taught us, we don't have anymore. They don't take the children to Sunday school. Churches by the score are dropping Sunday school, dropping night services, and children are not taught the things of God. So I wonder how soon it was before they noticed that the children in Lot's family were speaking the language of Sodom. You see, that's what got the pilgrims on the move when they left England and went to the Netherlands to live. First thing you know, the little children were picking up the language of the people around them. And instead of speaking English, they were speaking Dutch. Well, there's no sin in speaking Dutch, of course, but for an Englishman, they felt like it was a sin. So they said, "We got to go someplace else, because if we stay over here in Holland very much longer, these children are all going to be speaking Dutch and won't know English at all." So they that's when they became pilgrims and moved to America. The children wonder how long. That should have been a sign to Lot right then. It should have been a sign that said, "Run, Lot, run." But he don't run. In fact is, now his family has been influenced by what's going on in society around him. You notice that Lot quits living in a tent. He's no longer a pilgrim and stranger like Abraham. Abraham's still up here in a tent looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. Lot is no longer in a tent down here, but Lot has moved into a house in the devil's quarter. My friend, the book of the Revelation said, "I know where Satan's seat is. I know where the devil's at." And let me tell you, Lot is no longer living outside just looking at Sodom and Gomorrah over here. He's moved his wife and his daughters. He has daughters. His sons-in-law, he has sons-in-law. And he has sons, if you read the scripture carefully. And you find out that he's moved into the city of Sodom and has become an accepted citizen. He's one of those that sits in the gates. He's become one of the elders, one of the leaders of Sodom and Gomorrah, one of the people that have to do with running things over there. Well, his family has become assimilated into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot never feels like he's actually one of them. The New Testament said he's a righteous man. vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The New Testament bears that record of him. But I have to tell you this, my friend, his children don't have such a testimony. They have become part of Sodom. You don't keep your kids in a separated life. You don't live a separated life in front of them. You don't keep a separated home life. You let the world come in and take over the home and then over the church. My friend, the children are going to be just as worldly as anybody else. And the first thing you know, your family, my family, all of our families will be dissolved and assimilated into the world. We used to be proud to be holiness people. We used to be proud to be separated from the world. But my friend, now we don't want to be separated. We don't want that distinction of being separated and sanctified. We want to be part of what's going on. And so we let our children do whatever. We join in with all the activities of the world. And the first thing you know, my friend, we are assimilated into the society of Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, the inevitable happens. It's going to happen. He moved them towards Sodom. He moved them in Sodom. He let them become part of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so what happens to him? Well, one day little Sally comes home and she's got this little boy with him. She's 16, he's 20, and she brings him in and he's a Sodomite. And she's sweet on him. And he's sweet on her. And the next thing you know, Lot has not just children, but he has in-laws who are Sodomites, members of the Society of Sodom, and he has grandchildren who are born into the society. They don't know any difference. They don't know about that burnt offering out there on Mount Moriah that about Abraham. They don't know about Bethel. They don't know about the call of God to Abraham over in Ur of the Chaldeans. They don't know any of that. You see, these children are being born in Sodom and Gomorrah. All they know is what they hear around them. Mommy and daddy don't have enough backbone to stand up and take a stand. Mommy and daddy don't have enough backbone to live a separated and holy life and move out of Sodom and Gomorrah and live a sanctified and separated life. So the children are raised up and that's all they know. So what do we have? Well, Lot's got a heathen household. He's got a household whose his sons-in-laws and daughters-in-law do what? They worship false gods. They have no moral standards at all. The standards of the world around them and what's going on in the world around them, well, that's exactly what they do. So when you look at all this, next thing you know, here's poor little Lot sitting down in the gate of the city, just trying to be the very best he can. But what's happening? His household is going to hell in a handbasket. And nobody's doing anything about it. You see, my friend, all of this should have told Lot, run, Lot, run. When the kid came in with a sodomite to marry him, it should have said, run, Lot, run. When the kids came in talking the language of Sodom and Gomorrah, it should have said, run, Lot, run. But Lot don't run. Lot and his wife and his children and his in-laws continue to settle in Sodom and are satisfied with their prosperity, with their nest that they have created in Sodom. You say, well, if they had some religion in Sodom, they had plenty of religion in Sodom. They had plenty of religion. Good gracious, right here in the United States, we got whole churches that call themselves Christian churches and they're Sodomite churches. It's true. And so you can imagine what's going on down in Sodom and Gomorrah. They got religion. They got temples. They offer sacrifices. Smoke's going up out of the chimney every day. They're up there offering sacrifices and they're up there mumbo jumbo and religion around about it and talking about their religion and all that they have. And their priests are saying, oh, we've got to placate our gods. And the priests are saying, everything's all right. You all just go on and have a big old time. Our gods are good gods and they just want you to have a big time. And you just go ahead and practice whatever form of sexuality you want to practice and do whatever you want to do. Why, everything's okay. And so the heathen priests in the temples of Sodom are salving the conscience of the people and telling them it's all right. It's going to be okay. Don't you worry about it. You see, when the angels of God came, imagine this, angels of God come walking into that hell hole and that cesspool of iniquity. Angels of God come in, and when they begin to tell the message from heaven, they begin to tell the Sodomites who are in Lot's household. They begin to talk to them, and they say, listen, you got to get out of this place. You've got to leave here, because in the morning, all hell is going to break loose. In the morning, the sky is going to rain down fire and sulfur, brimstone. And it's going to fall down on you, and it's going to burn this place up. God Almighty is going to burn this ground to a crisp. He's going to burn the people. He's going to burn the cats, the dogs, the sheep, and the cattle. And God's going to burn the houses and all of the temples of the wicked. And He's going to destroy this place from off the earth. God has been watching, and He's not pleased with it. You've got to get out. And right away, Lot's family says, oh, we're so thankful you brought us the truth. We're going to get out right now. We're going to leave. My God, people, if people believed that the angel of God came in at sundown and said God's going to destroy this place in the world, you ought to be running at sundown. You ought not to wait till the next morning to run. You ought to run now. Do you really believe that God's going to continue to look at the sin and the degradation in America and do nothing about it? Do you really think that God is going to pay no attention at all to the sins of the 21st century? God has a history, my friend, of being merciful. God has a history of being kind and benevolent. God has a history of waiting and waiting. Judgment is a strange thing to God. But God also has a history of being holy and upright, and ultimately that when God speaks, sin and sinners, come on now, sin and sinners will be destroyed. Oh, you think God won't do that? God will do that. God will do that, my friends. I'm telling you, He will do that. Angels came in and said in the morning, you've got to get out. You cannot stay. He says to Lot, the angel says to Lot, says, Lot, do you have anybody else in this city? Well, yes, I've got some daughters that married sons-in-law here. I've got some sons who married daughters-in-law here. They don't live here in the house. I've only got two children left, these two girls. But I've got to, he said, you've got to go tell them. You've got to go tell them. And so the angels run and Lot runs and they go tell them. In the morning, God's going to send all hell down on you. In the morning, the sky is going to rain fire and brimstone down, and God's going to burn up every person in here and kill everybody. And the only hope you have is to get out. The only escape you have is to run to the mountains. Don't go to any other city or any other place. Run to the mountains as hard as you can run and get out of here. Man, they ought to have took off like lightning to get out of there. You say, well, surely they, oh yeah, they got down to the altar and they put up an altar and they offered a sacrifice and they repented of their sins and got right with God. You know why they didn't? You know why they didn't? Because they were too steeped in Sodom. It was too deep in them to get out of. When Lot told them about it and the angels told them about it, what did they think? Thought they was telling a joke. Thought their religion was a joke. Thought the religion of Abraham and Lot and the religion of Isaac and Jacob, the religion that came down from Noah and from the living God in heaven, the creator of the universe, they thought that that was a joke. The scripture is very plain. It seemed to them that he made a joke. It seemed to them that he was just fooling and funning around. What a stupid thing to say. How could that old man think that that's going to happen? How could that old man and them two strangers, never knowing that they were looking at angels of God, never knowing that they were looking at men of God who were standing there sent from heaven and sent there on a merciful mission, they didn't have to go in that city and say anything to anybody. They didn't have to go in there and say anything to anybody. They didn't know anybody anything, but for Abraham's sake, for the intercessory prayers that Abraham was up there praying for Lot, they went in being, and the scripture said, being a merciful God, and God being merciful to them, gave them one more night to get ready and get out. But they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to run. They thought it was a joke. And the angels are saying, what's the message the angels bring? Run, Lot, run. Get out while you can. Get out before it comes in. The sky's going to fall in tomorrow. The fire's going to fall. The brimstone is coming. Judgment's going to come. And they're saying, oh, who ever heard tell of such a thing? There's no God in heaven that's going to do anything like that. Why, we've been living like this all my life. We've been living like this all this time. His daughters don't believe. His sons don't believe. His daughter-in-laws don't believe. His grandchildren don't believe. Truthfully, his wife don't believe. And to tell you the truth, Lot has some problems with it himself. You know why? Because they've been in the world too long. And let me tell you something. I'm telling you that church people in America have been in the world too long, and they don't know how to live a sanctified life, and they don't want to live a sanctified life. It's a good grief, Eddie. You sound like one of them. Oh, hallelujah. Bless God forever. Amen. You see, Lot, in the morning, I mean, like I said, if these guys came in at sundown and said, we got the message from heaven that the fire and the brimstone is going to fall tomorrow, I think right then have been the sign to start running. Amen? I think right then have been time to start running. They spent the whole night gabbing about it, jarring around about it, having to deal with the men of Sodom. Whole town given over to homosexuality is what it was, of all kinds. Ungodly, unholy cesspool of sin. And finally, the angel said, you have got to go, Lot. I mean, it's getting desperate when God is down here saying, you got to go, man. It's time. It's time. And what did it say? He lingered. Yeah. Oh, I wonder how many people are doing that today. I wonder how many people are lingering. How many Christians are lingering in the world, lingering around the cesspool of Sodom and Gomorrah, lingering around the sin of this land. I wonder how many are. They lingered. What happened? God being merciful, it said. The angel, only Abraham's prayers caused this to happen. I think the angels would have burnt them to a crisp if it hadn't been for Abraham's prayers. They had to get a hold of Sodom, of Lot's hand, and pull him out. They had to get a hold of his wife's hand. They had to get a hold of his two daughters' hand, and they had to pull them out of the city of Sodom into the plains so that the fire wouldn't fall on them. Oh, my friend, what are they saying? Run, Lot, run. Run, Lot, run. You've got to get out. You've got to save yourself. The fire's going to fall, and if you don't get out, you're going to be caught in it. The endless consequences of living the worldly life. The endless consequences of living, my friend, by the decisions that Lot made. His daughters, his sons, his daughters-in-law, his sons-in-law, his grandchildren, his wife, all consumed by the fire, all taken in to the destruction that was in Sodom. Why? Because they wouldn't get out. They wouldn't leave. They couldn't see a vision of it. They couldn't see a vision of how they needed to leave and how they needed to get out. My brothers and sisters in America, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're founding churches, preachers, leaders of young people, leaders of worship music. We're building churches that not only condone homosexuality, but include it as part of their statement of faith. Include it as the part of their statement of faith that we should decide whether or not we're going to kill our babies or not. Oh, it's not just a morning after pill anymore, my friends. It's the governor of Virginia saying, lay the baby over there and decide after a while whether you want to live or not. You say, oh, he didn't say that. Oh, yes, he did too. God help him in the day of judgment. God help Mr. Northam in the day of judgment. And I'm afraid if I met him, I'd probably have to tell him. It'd just probably pop out, David, before I could stop it. I just have to say I can't do this. The endless consequences, generations for Lot. And my friend, you say, well, at least he got two girls saved out of it. All he got out was their bodies. How many girls of any decency are going to conspire to get their father drunk so they can get pregnant by him? That's what happened. That's what happened to Lot and his two girls that escaped. So what happened to his wife? Oh, she loved Lot, Sodom so much that in defiance of God's order not to look back, she turned and looked back and turned to a pillar of salt and was consumed and all the rest of it. You say, oh, that didn't happen. Well, call Jesus a liar if you want to. But Jesus Christ believed it. He said, remember Lot's wife. Amen. Remember that? Remember Lot's wife. Jesus believed it. You see, my friends, its book ends down in the end of time in the Revelation. And John has been in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he's been watching the armies of the world marching through the centuries. He's been watching beasts come up out of the land and beasts come up out of the sea. He's been watching vials of judgment being poured out from heaven by angels on the earth. He's been watching hailstones as big as softballs falling on men's domain. You say, well, I reckon that got people to repent. No, my friend. Go read the book of Revelation. They're so steeped in the world that they curse the God of heaven because of the plagues of the hail and because of the other plagues that are falling on them. The plagues that are going to fall on this earth, my friend, will not cause the men and women of this world who are steeped in the Sodom Gomorrah mentality of this world to repent. They're not going to repent. That's why you need to run. That's why you need to get out. And watching all of that, John sees all of that happen. What does he say? What does he say? Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. I'm telling you, my friend, we need to change our way in this country and in this world. We need to change our way of living, and we need to change our way of doing. I know it's not popular, but whoever thought we were running for a popularity contest anyway? And so I come to you today saying, run, Bethel Chapel, run. I'm saying, run, Giles County, run. Run, Virginia, run. Run, America, run. Run, world, run. Run for what? Run for the mountain. Isn't that what the angel said? Run for the mountain. Would you believe Lot got outside the city and argued with the angels about that? You say, oh, surely he wouldn't argue with the angels after all that. Yes, he did. The angel said, run to the mountains. He said, oh, I'm old and it's just me and the girls and there's just this one little city. Just one little sin. Just one little sin, you know. Just one little thing that I can do. He said, there's just one little city over here, Zoar. If you could just let me go over there and stay, then maybe everything would be all right and we'd be okay. God being merciful, it said, okay, if that's the way you want it, go to Zoar. But when he got over there and he looked back down the road, Abraham was standing on the hill at his house and they're standing in the valley looking and they look back down and they see the smoke going up to heaven, black smoke's going up, the smell of sulfur's in the air where the fire and brimstone fell, and it's a horrible sight and they know their loved ones are in there, and he's afraid to go in the city, and he ultimately does go to the mountains and live in a cave. But my friend, can you imagine standing and arguing? You say, well, surely nobody would do that. They'll do it in the day of judgment. They'll say, Well, we didn't ever see you hungry. We didn't ever see you thirsty. We didn't ever see you needing this or needing a visit in jail or in the sick room. They'll say, we did mighty works in your name. We did wonderful things in your name. Huh. Like the Queen of England, we are not impressed. That's what God says. We think that we're going to impress God with our holiness. We think we're going to impress God with our righteousness and our religion and our doings. My friend, God is not impressed. You know why? Because God knows what's in here. God knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're thinking. You can fool me. It's not hard. I'm doughty. I just bite on everything. You can fool me. You can act goody-good, and I might not know the difference. And you might fool the whole deacon board. You might fool the whole denomination. But let me tell you, my friend, not for 1 minute, not for 1 minute will you fool the Almighty God. Amen. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. And He has given us a space. My friend, we need a devil-chasing, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost revival to move in our land. But people don't want to stop their activities in Sodom long enough for us to have one. Oh, my friend, how we need the altars ought to be filled with weeping and wailing people. The Sunday schools and the prayer meetings ought to be filled with seekers. The Sunday morning service ought to be filled with people sucking up the Word of God and listening to the Word. Run, Lot, run. Fire and brimstone are going to fall, and judgment is going to come. Repent before it's too late. Change your lifestyle. Change your way of living. Go back to your old prayer closet. Go back to your old decent way of living. Search for the old paths and walk therein. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, Savior of the world, we pray that the Spirit of God will touch every heart here. God, that You will touch the hearts of those listening by tapes or CDs or radio or wherever. God, that the message of God will come clear to run from this world's destruction, to run from the sins and to come out and be not partakers of the sins that we received not of the plagues. Father, I ask You to stir our hearts. I ask You, Father, to stir our souls and to deliver us from the ungodliness of this world, from this Sodomite society that we're living in, and deliver us into a pure and a holy and a sanctified lifestyle with God's holy people. Father, these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.